Take your Bible to the book of Exodus, please. Exodus chapter 34. I believe we'll start a series on Sunday mornings on the Ten Commandments. God calls it in His Word the testimony. It's sort of God's testimony to us. You know, all of us have a testimony, don't we? If you're saved, you ought to have a testimony. Well, God has a testimony too. And His testimony in the Old Testament is all about what's so terribly wrong with humanity. He calls it the Ten Commandments here in Exodus chapter 34. I'm probably going to make available to you a good book by my good friend, Brother Knox, on the law. And I don't have that today, but we'll probably make that available to you much more in depth. You know, the reason that we have lawlessness is because people have removed the law. You can't expect there to be a decent law-abiding society if you get rid of all the laws. And man is in a rush to try to get rid of law. You'd be surprised of what our society now is getting rid of that's always been illegal, but now it's illegal to talk about the illegality. Well, when you remove the law, you have lawlessness. And that's not just true in our country, but it's true around the world. It'll be true in your life. I preach grace, but I don't shun the moral code of God's law. You take the Bible out, you'll put perversion in. And the truth is that these Ten Commandments, for the most part, are repeated almost word for word in the New Testament. Whether it's from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ or the Apostle Paul. And we'll get into each one of them by the grace of God the days ahead. But I want to read together, if you will, in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 27. We'll just preach an introductory message about the law or the testimony or the Ten Commandments today. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 34 and verse number 27, "And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words. For after the tenure of these words, I have made a covenant with thee, with Israel, and he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water." Now you try that and you'll die. But you get in God's presence for 40 days and 40 nights like Moses did, you're not going to die. You know, as far as we know, nobody ever died in the presence of Jesus. The Bible says in verse number 28, "And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments." Now, God's law encompasses a lot more than Ten Commandments. We know that. There's a whole lot written. But he summed it up in what he said to Moses here. He talks about two tables. And on these two tables were the Ten Commandments, he said. Verse 29. "And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai." The first thing I want to talk to you about this morning about the law and about these Ten Commandments is the greatness of them. The greatness of them. You know, the Bible, as it shows us, God gave these Ten Commandments to Moses, as he said in verse 28. You know, if a man had tried to sum up all the law or all the explanation of right and wrong in a little bit, he'd have a hard time just coming up with 10 statements. But God, seemingly in the greatness of God's power and the greatness of God's understanding, he boiled down the problem of man into 10 sayings. Isn't that a great thing? I mean, you take our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, or God forbid, laws that are passed every day in the United States, they're so big you can't even get through them. I mean, how stupid do we have lawmakers to pass laws and they've not even read what it said? There are hundreds and hundreds, sometimes even up to 1,000 pages of law, and they just sign off, and I'm sure the guy that signed off doesn't know what it says. And yet God, in his wisdom, is able to boil down everything about right and wrong, or about the law, or about what we need to understand in 10 things. I think that's great in itself. You know what God knew? God knew our attention span's not very long. And so he boiled it all down to 10 things that if we could get a hold of, we could see our need. We could see the problem. And only God would be able to do that. You know, the 10 commandments are the foundation for all of human history's historical laws. I mean, it doesn't matter what country, what nation, what rules are placed there, or the laws of man, you'll find their foundation in what God gave to Moses. Now they may change it, but the foundational truths of these things are found in the law that God gave to Moses. There would be no Western civilization without a recognition of the laws that God gave to Moses. You go to the Supreme Court, you'll see Moses up there on that building. That's a recognition of the fact that God is the one who knows what's right and wrong. I'm talking about the greatness of God. So God's law is so great that he didn't even have to put it on a table. He put it in your heart. His law is so great. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2, it tells us that the law is written in our hearts. He not only wrote it with his own finger on tables of stone, but he's written it in the heart of man. It doesn't matter. Ask Brother Mullins. People in the jungle of New Guinea, they know it's wrong to kill. They know it's wrong to take somebody else's wife. Why do they know that? Because the law is written in their heart. That's pretty great. Despite a man's education, despite a man, what continent he's born upon, but despite his background, that there would be this law in the heart of a man, that God would put it there, I'd say that's a great thing. It's also great because the Bible says in verse 27 that we read, and the Lord said unto Moses, this was God's words. In chapter 20, we have the summation of those 10 commandments in Exodus. Would you turn right over there with me? Exodus chapter 20. And the Bible says in verse number 1 of Exodus 20, and God spake all these words, saying, watch verse 2 of Exodus 20, I am the Lord thy God. You know what makes these commandments great? Because it comes from the Lord our God. It's who has given them. And by the way, if God creates everything, he has a right to give us the rules for life. When God made you, when God made life, when God made the world and all things therein, he has a right to tell us what to do, what not to do by very fact of our creation. He says, I am the Lord thy God. Let me say this. There's nobody smarter than he is. So if he says these things are wrong, he's right. I'm telling you, church, the world we live in today wants to undo the commands of God, and everything that God says was wrong, man is now saying is right, that God didn't know what he's talking about. But man is dumb. All you have to do is look at his life. He can't satisfy himself. He can't kick his addictions. He can't control himself. He doesn't have the answers to the smallest of things. And God, is there anybody, if there should have ever been someone to tell you what is right and what is wrong, it should be the smartest being in the universe. Because you know what? Here's the truth. You may come up with a list, and I may come up with a list of things that we think are right and wrong, and we can differ with each other. That's what the whole world's fighting about right now. All society is fighting with the previous generation that said all these things are wrong. And now they said, no, they didn't know what they're talking about. Well, here's the truth. None of us are smart enough to know what's right and wrong. That's why God wrote it down. It took Almighty, omniscient, all-knowing God to write down and tell you what's wrong. You know what people do? They have wrong things in their life and they won't agree with God that they're wrong. I'm smarter than God. Those people that think they're smarter than God, they ought to take a little trip to the book of Job and just read all the questions that God asked Job and then see if you can answer them. Those questions have never been answered that God asked Job. He asked him about the constellations. He asked him about the things of science. He asked him all types of questions that couldn't be answered. You know why? Because God is an all-knowing, omnipotent God that's all-wise. And even the Bible says the foolishness of God's wiser than men. If there was something foolish about God, it'd be so far above the smartest thing that mankind could ever write or know or discern. I'm just saying that the reason that the law is so great is because of who gave it. He knows what ought to be done and what ought not to be done. I am the Lord thy God. It's great because the Bible tells us in Acts 7:53, Galatians 3:19, that it was given by the disposition of angels. Angels were involved with communicating the law to man. Not just God, not just those tablets. Angels were involved. Why? Because God wanted man to know beyond a shadow of a doubt what heaven thinks about his life. Look at Romans chapter 7 about the greatness of... I'll tell you another reason that the law is great. Not just because it condenses everything in such a tiny package that we can get a hold of. Not just because the one who gave it. Not just because we have to have some kind of standard of morality, what is right and wrong, and there's no greater arbiter of the truth than God Almighty to be that one that makes those decisions. But in Romans chapter 7, the Bible says this about the law. So this is what the New Testament says about the Old Testament. Romans chapter 7, verse number 12. Romans 7, 12, the Bible says this, wherefore the law is holy. You know, America is a lot of things. I'll tell you one thing, it's not holy. The world is a lot of things, but it's not holy. What a privilege we have, a book that is a holy Bible. What a privilege it is that we have a Holy Spirit if we're saved. Because everything in society goes against the holiness of God. And God says, I tell you why the law is great. It's great because it's holy. Amen. It's not dirty. It's holy. Wherefore the law is holy. Watch it. And the commandment holy. And just. God's not fair. God's not fair. No, you're not fair. The commandment is holy and just. He's right. Amen. And then he says, and good. The law's even good. You know, if man would live by the principles that God put down the law, he'd be so much happier. Right. What kind of, let me ask you, what kind of world would there be when that nobody ever committed adultery? Yeah. Come on. What kind of world do you think that would be? What kind of world do you think it would be where nobody ever killed anybody else? Think that'd be a pretty good world? What kind of world would it be? It'd be a good world. But here's the thing. Man, he just messes up everything that God tries to do. But the law is great. The law is great. It's holy. It's just. It's good. Well, let's look at the instruction of the law. What's the purpose of the law? You're in Romans. Look at the previous chapter in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse number 7. The instruction of the law. What do we learn by it? Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. He said, "Preacher, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. What does the law have to do with me?" Just keep reading. "Nay, I had not known what? Sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet." In other words, God says this. What the law instructs us on is it lets us know what sin is. It defines sin. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, that sin is... What is sin? Sin is the transgression of the law. No, sin is racism, or sin is something against humanity. No, sin is the transgression of the law. That's what sin is. And the reason that it is a sin is because God gave the rules, and when you break the rules and they're God's rules, then you've sinned. A sin is something that's against God. And we've all broken the rules. And we're all sinners. And the law was given so that man might know what sin is, and that so sin would become exceeding sinful in our own heart. Look at Galatians chapter 3. The greatness of the law. We're talking now about the instruction of the law. What's the purpose of it? What's it trying to do in my life? It's trying to teach me something. What's it trying to teach me? It's trying to teach me about sin. Why? Because sin will wreck and ruin my life. Sin will not only end in destruction for people in hell that aren't saved, but sin will destroy anybody's life. The problem in the world is sin. It's not inequality, it's sin. It's not a lack of fairness, it's not a lack of wealth, it's sin. Sin is every one of our problems. That's why God gave us the law. He said in Galatians chapter 3, it's to teach us something. Verse number 24, watch it, Galatians 3:24. "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster." The law will take you to school. What will it do? The law was our schoolmaster, not only teach us about sin, but the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. What the law will do, the law will keep pointing you, hey, you're hopeless. Hey, you're broken. Hey, you're messed up. You're a sinner. You have no hope. You're without God. You better get to Jesus Christ and trust Him, because you don't have any hope. You're so messed up. You know, it would probably behoove us, when we try to lead people to Christ and talk to them about salvation, it probably would be good for us if we take a trip down through the law with them. Because here's the problem with most people that aren't saved. They don't think they're bad. They don't even think they're a sinner. "I'm a pretty good boy. I mean, I'm better than him. I've never killed anybody." Isn't that what they say? Well, there's a whole lot more commandments than "thou shalt not kill." I like walking through all those commandments with somebody when I think they're really serious about getting saved. Let's see how bad you are. You get to the end of those commandments and you'll know what a dirty so-and-so you are, because you've broken every one of them. "Oh no, I've never killed anybody." Jesus said, you know, that hatred is the same thing. There's a lot of people who have killed a whole bunch of people. "Well, I've never committed adultery." Jesus said that lust in your heart's the same thing. Right? Well, guys, we are lawbreakers. And the reason people don't think they're going to hell, they don't think they're going to hell because they don't think they've broken any of God's law, when the truth is they've broken all of God's law. They couldn't be more guilty. We're all guilty. And the purpose of the law is to instruct us about that. He said in Romans chapter 3 that all the world would become guilty before God. That's why the law entered, to show us that we're guilty. And I can't save myself. If I try to do better and honor my parents, I'm going to mess up and covet tomorrow. I've got to find some help outside of myself, because I'm a lawbreaker. So the instruction of that law, what does it instruct us about? It instructs us about sin. It instructs us about the fact we've got to get to Jesus Christ. It instructs us with the two tables. We read the verses today about there were two tables. And there's 10 commandments. And you can divide those 10 commandments into two tables. not 5 and 5, but 4 and 6. Jesus gave us that understanding in Matthew chapter 22. He said, all the law can be fulfilled in this. He said, we got the first commandment, that's the first table. That has to do with your relationship with God. The first 4 commandments of the 10 have to do with your relationship with God. Doesn't have to do with your relationship with people at all. Guys, do you know why our relationship with people are broken? It's because our relationship with God's broken. I can't seem to get that across to some people. Our relationship with others is broken because our relationship with God is broken. That's why the Bible says, how can you love God, or how can you love God whom you've not seen, and you can't love your brother who you have seen, you see? There's a correlation between my interaction with my fellow man and my interaction with God. But the first commandment, that's the first 4 commandments, the first table can be summed up with, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's what those first 4 commandments are about. The first 4 commandments, if you had to sum them up, is that you need to love God. By the way, you can't love God if you don't love Jesus Christ. And you can't love God if you're not born again, because God's got to shed abroad love in your heart for you to be able to love God by the Holy Ghost that's given to you. There's nothing that's lovely about any of us. God's got to put that love down in your heart. And you can't do that unless you get born again. That first 4 commandment, that first table is love God. That last table, that second table, those last 6 commandments is you need to love your neighbor as yourself. Nobody ever killed somebody else that loved them. Right? Nobody ever stole somebody's wife or husband that didn't love that loved them. Right? Nobody bore false witness. You know, when people lie to other people, it's because they don't love them. Love is the fulfilling of the law, in that if we'll love God and love our neighbor. But here's what man does. Man takes those 2 tables and he does this. Man thinks the chief aim of mankind is just loving each other. Hey man, you cannot get to the 5th commandment till you go through the first 4. Do you know what keeping the last 6, the second table, our response, you know what that would cause us? That just send us all to hell. Well, I try to do right by others. You can't unless you do right by God. That's why it's the first commandment. And that's why everybody needs Jesus, because we can't get to the first commandment without flunking out. Because usually there's always something in all of our hearts that's more important than God. That's the first one we break. So the law instructs us. You need Jesus. The law instructs us. This is what's wrong. The law instructs us. You've got responsibilities to God. You've got responsibilities to man. And you've got to see how that fits together. You can't do one without the other. I'd say in the instruction of the law, and this is what most people can't take, there's so much negative in it. You know, 8 of the 10 commandments are a knot. There's something in people that say, I don't like that. I want it positive. Well, if life was positive, we would be positive. They're not all negative, but 8 out of 10 are. Man hates that. Here God comes to Adam and Eve and says, y'all eat all the trees you want, but thou shalt not eat of that one. And that's the knot is the only one they could see. I tell you what, those Bible-believing people, they just say, we just can't do this, we can't do that, we can't do anything. No, God's trying to save us from ruining our life and ruining our family and ruining our marriage, ruining our sanity. It's not that God's a bad God. He says, not, not, not.
It's not that he's just a negative God. He's a wonderful God. He's a merciful God. He's a gracious God. He's provided great things for his children that we can't even dream of. But he understands down here in life, if he doesn't keep us away from certain things, there'll be nothing positive. By the way, that's not only true about the Ten Commandments and the law, but that's also true about preaching in the New Testament. The Bible says, preach the word, be in season, out of season. Here's what he said about preaching. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's at least two-thirds negative. I just can't get over the negativity. Well, you just need to get a good dose of reality. What would you think if those commanders or the people at the Pentagon or whoever it is, the president, called all the families of those service members and said, you know what? Y'all just need to be positive. You think that'd go over? Y'all just need to smile. No, their whole world is upended. Their whole life is destroyed. You can't just put a smiley face on life. You know the truth about life is? It's one big tragedy unless you get God in it. That's all human history is. It's a big tragedy. And it's not that God can't give love and joy and peace. He can. He wants to. It's not that he can give us things that are lovely and things that are pure and things that are of good report. He wants to. But he first needs to show us, look at all these knots that are going to steal your love and steal the joy and steal the peace and steal the good reports. Yeah.
Then in Galatians chapter 3, there's the curse of the law. Look at it, he says in Galatians chapter 3, I think you're still there. The curse of the law in Galatians 3 verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. God says you're cursed if you don't do everything in that law, not just one of the commandments, not just two of the commandments, but all of the commandments. Hold your finger right there because I'll be right back. And go to James chapter 2. Here is a verse that the majority of religion does not want to acknowledge. I never forget, I got into an argument, and I learned better later. I got in an argument with a Church of Christ preacher in my 20s one time. And we went back and forth. He put me on the radio. We just went to town on the radio. It was live. And finally, I said, you know what? You guys don't even, you don't have salvation. You have no hope of salvation because you'll never be saved. Because you don't believe you can be saved and be forever saved. You know, he was making fun of me because we believe in eternal life. That when you get saved, you're saved eternally. He was making fun of that. He said, oh, you believe you can do this sin, that sin, the other sin, and still go to heaven. I said, sir, the truth is we all sin till we die. Just because your sins are different from another's that you think went to hell because of theirs doesn't mean that your pride just isn't as bad as, amen, the thing that you think sent them to hell. And this is the verse that I gave him. And when I did, it stopped the conversation. James 2:10. Let's read 2:9. James 2:9. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in, what does he say? One point. He's what? Guilty of all. Look at the next verse. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. Doesn't that make sense? That's why he put those laws on two tables. You can't just take one of them or two of them or three of them. It is written together. And he said, when you break one of those, you've broken them all. And that's why people try to justify themselves. Say, well, I'm a pretty good person. I'll not go to hell. I'm not really guilty. I've kept most of the commandments. And then you ask them to name them and they can't even name them. Pretty shaky ground to think that you're okay with God because you think you've kept the Ten Commandments and you don't even know what they are. But then you go to the Bible and says, okay, if you miss, if you break one of them, you're guilty of breaking all of them. You know what that means? That means humanity's cursed because we've all broken them. We've broken every one of them. And man tries to justify himself. Well, I didn't break that one. No, you've broken every one of them. We're all guilty. We're all in the same boat. That's why Christ came. If we could do good and do better and be accepted for God, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. Jesus wouldn't have had to die. He said back in our text in Galatians chapter 3, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things in that law. We're all cursed. But then he said in verse 13, what a blessing. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. God said, I tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. I'll take your place. I'll be cursed for you. All those laws you've broken, I'll take them in my own body on the tree. And I'll give you my righteousness and I'll take your curse. And we can do a little swap here. Oh, that's the greatest trade humanity ever saw in their life. To trade your transgression for the righteousness of God. To trade your curse, amen, with peace with God. Why wouldn't a man do that? Jesus was cursed for you so you wouldn't have to be cursed. And that law tells us over and over again, look at verse 11 of Galatians 3, since you're there, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The law can't save you. Even if you could try to keep them all, which you can't, but even if you could, it can't justify you. Only Christ can do that, he says. The inability of the law, that no flesh could be justified in his sight. By the law shall no flesh be justified. We just can't keep it all. Now go to Romans 8 and I'm going to wrap up. Romans 8 and Matthew chapter 5. So as we go through this study on the Ten Commandments and the law of God, I want you to keep in mind as a Christian that this law is great. It has instruction for us. Though it cursed us and was unable to save us and to justify us, Jesus Christ stepped in the gap. Praise the Lord. And what we could not do, he did. You know what he did? Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 17, Jesus said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He said, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. You know what Jesus did? Jesus Christ fulfilled every dot in the law, every cross T in the law. He fulfilled it. What you couldn't do, he did it. There was only one that ever kept the law. That was Jesus Christ. There was only one that ever loved the Lord God with all of his heart. That was Jesus Christ. There was only one that never had anything before God in his heart and his life. That was Jesus Christ. There was only one that never had a covetous thought. My. Was Jesus Christ. He fulfilled it in all points. He completed the task that we could not complete. Bible says in Romans chapter 8, look at it. Romans chapter 8, verse number 3. Romans 8, verse number 3, the Bible says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. The law has no power to save you. It's weak. It can't. All it can do is tell you're guilty. The law can't set you free. All law does is put you in jail. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now watch it. Watch your Bible. Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In chapter 10 of, just a page over, Romans 10, verse number 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So here's the truth, and I'm finished. You can't keep the law. I can't keep the law. We're lawbreakers. All the dumb things in our life is because of our sin, every one of us. All the pieces of our life is just because of sin. It's not because of God. It's because of sin. And Jesus stepped in my place, and he fulfilled all the law that I could not fulfill. He got A++++ straight across the board. Clicked every check mark with his Father. He fulfilled that law. And then God says this, I know that you, even after you're saved, you're pitiful. Even after we're saved, he said in 1 John chapter 1, we say that we have no sin, we're just a liar. We still transgress the law, even after we've been born again. But here's what God says. God says, I tell you what, you're a failure. That's all you'll ever be is a failure. How's that for positive preaching this morning? It'll help you when you just come to terms with that. I'm a failure. I'm a sinner. Say it another way. And God says, okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to believe in my Son that fulfilled it all. Believe in my Son. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put my perfect Son in your old imperfect heart. And if you'll let him, he'll start living your life instead of you living your life. And if you'll let him, if you'll yield to him on the inside that I put on the inside of you, and if you'll walk in his Spirit, what you'll start doing, you'll start fulfilling that law, because it won't be your failure and it won't be what you can do. It's going to be what the Son of God on the inside of you, the only one that can fulfill God's requirements and God's righteousness. If you'll let the one on the inside do the walking and do the talking and do the living and do the deciding, you will fulfill every part of that law as you walk in that Spirit. Because, yeah, you're a failure, but boy, my Son, he's a success. And when you get saved, see, he puts the Son of God in your heart so that all that life that we could never accomplish, he can fulfill. Guys, I've said this before, only one person lived the Christian life. And that was Jesus Christ. But he wants to live it over and over and over again in us. But if we don't let him, we're just going to break it. We're going to break it. We're going to break this. We're going to break that. We're going to fail here. We're going to make a mess here. If we don't let God Almighty take charge of us, all we will ever be is a bunch of lawbreakers. So that's really two messages in one. If you're not saved here this morning and you think because you've never killed anybody you're all right, you are guilty. You better get to Jesus Christ and trust Jesus Christ, or you're going to split hell wide open, because we're all bad. But if you are saved this morning and you look at all the pieces and all the mess, you ought to yield yourself to the one that's on the inside that will fulfill every step and every requirement that you and I can't do.